Welcome to the EU Energy Projects podcast, a podcast series from Enlit and Friends, focusing on the clean energy transition for the European Union and the EU Commission-funded energy projects that will help us achieve it. My name is Areti Daradimou. I am the editor of the EU Energy Projects podcast and your host. Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we're delighted to speak with Dr. Devrim Yazan, coordinator of the IS2H4C project, a groundbreaking European initiative that's redefining how industries, cities, and rural areas work together to close the loop on resources and energy. IS2H4C, short for Implementing Systemic and Sustainable Industrial Symbiosis for Hubs for Circularity, aims to make the circular economy a practical reality through innovative technologies like carbon capture, electrolysis, and cross-sector collaboration. But beyond technology, it's also about people, policies, and partnerships, aligning with the European Green Deal, the Circular Economy Action Plan, and the Europe's long-term vision for climate neutrality. Today, we'll discuss not only what IS2H4C is achieving, but also the broader European context, the regulatory frameworks, the challenges, and the opportunities that are driving Europe toward a truly circular and sustainable future. Devrim, thank you so much for being here with me today. And to start, how would you describe the current European landscape when it comes to industrial symbiosis and circular economy initiatives?
Thank you very much, Areti, for inviting me to this podcast. Well, I think there is a visible rise of the circular economy domain, as we can witness from the European Green Deal, and also from the clean industrial deal shared by the European Commission. Many industries and regions are still transitioning from linear models to circular models, but we see a strong momentum towards systemic circularity, connecting industrial, urban, and rural systems in initiatives like Hubs for Circularity. In fact, the European Commission shows its engagement to industrial symbiosis as recently, four large-scale projects were funded for establishing hubs for circularity. And IS2H4C is one of these projects.
Now, the European Commission has put strong emphasis on the Green Deal and Circular Economy Action Plan. How do these policies shape or support projects like IS2H4C?
Well, these policies are the backbone of IS2H4C, and they give the strategic and financial framework for turning theory into action. IS2H4C directly operationalizes the Green Deal by demonstrating how industrial symbiosis can create environmental and economic value added.
But not everything is, I would say, positive. There are also, I would assume, some barriers. And from your experience, I wanted to ask, what are the key regulatory or policy barriers from these acts or other acts that still make the transition to a circular and symbiotic industrial system challenging across Europe? Because we're definitely nowhere near that
goal. Yes, definitely. Well, I think the main barriers are cross-sectoral barriers. So inconsistent permitting, unclear ways to resource classification, and fragmented governance between international, and regional levels. We need integrated regulatory frameworks that recognize circular exchanges as economic opportunities, I think, but not as exceptions.
And what about funding? Because that's also a bit of a hurdle. Many projects face issues when aligning with EU regulations or funding frameworks. They have to follow specific paths that sometimes are not easy to follow. So how has IS2H4C navigated these complexities, especially, as you mentioned, since we have different, let's say, governments in the various European nations that see things a bit differently also?
Yeah, It is a barrier that I recognize, of course. What we do against this, we built our project as a living ecosystem rather than a classical project. It is a project where we prioritize dynamic collaboration rather than static coordination. It bridges Horizon Europe with national and regional programs and also with the industrial investments. We give utmost attention to collaboration with stakeholders who are influential for the success of the project, even if they are not a direct beneficiary of the project. Presence of such stakeholders are inevitable and makes the project more complex, but this also confirms the need for hand-to-hand collaboration between industry, society, governmental bodies, regulatory bodies, and non-governmental organizations.
Now, for those that may not be familiar with the project, could you briefly explain what it is and what makes it unique among other European sustainability initiatives?
Well, it is unique because it goes beyond technology pilots. So it is not only a pure demo project. It scales up circular technologies to capture added value from waste streams and make use of existing and new infrastructure to transfer this added value to the regions via developing hubs for circularity. What makes it also unique is that it blends engineering, social sciences, and digital tools to build resilient circular ecosystems.
Hello everyone, Areti here. I would like to personally invite you to discover the EU Project Zone at Enlit Europe 2025 in Bilbao. Our event takes place from the 18th to the 20th of November. Come say hi to me at the EU Project Zone. Another unique thing about the project, I think, is that it brings together industries, local communities, and policymakers. Now, yes, there are other projects, perhaps, that do something that bring these actors together, but not in the way that IS2H4C is doing it. So how does it ensure that collaboration across such diverse stakeholders, because they are completely diverse, is effective and meaningful and not just superficial, as most of the times, unfortunately?
Yes, yes. Well, in our project, we have four circular hubs. These are Dutch, Turkish, German, and Basque circular hubs. And I think the starting points for each hub differ. So because, you know, they have different technical and geographic characteristics, and they have also different coordination structure. For each hub, we have a hub leader, and there are periodic meetings that take place within these hubs, where also regional and national stakeholders can join. So that ensures the multi-stakeholder engagement. We feel their support also in these hub-specific meetings. Next to that, for cross-learning purposes, we organize bi-monthly meetings with work package leaders and the hub leaders of the project so that we monitor the progress, but also we learn from each other.
I want to stay a little bit the hubs. Now, you explained the four demonstration hubs across Europe, how they, what they represent and how they are built and how important they are into bringing the various stakeholders together. But I would also like you to tell me what kind of innovations are tested in these hubs.
Well, that's a very good question because, as I said, we don't have only one demo. We have four hubs and each of them contain multiple technologies. So if I start with the Basque hub, it brings together steel, pulp and paper, lime, and wastewater sectors. Here we test oxycombustion technology with hydrogen and oxygen in steel making. Next to that, we have carbon capture, and we use this captured carbon in methane production. And finally, we have also carbonation of steel slags, where we use also the captured carbon to produce alternative construction materials. So this is the Basque hub. Mm-hmm. When we come to the Dutch hub, actually, it is located in Twente region in the eastern side of Netherlands. Here we have a hydrogen hub Twente, which is composed of 20 process companies who are investing in hydrogen research, hydrogen production in small scale. We link this hydrogen hub to a nearby village called Adorp. It is 3 kilometers away. And we are going to transfer the hydrogen produced to the built environment in Adorp. And this clean hydrogen will power homes, a community building, and an SME. And oxygen driving from electrolysis is used to clean wastewater in a close-by wastewater treatment unit. And the cleaned water serves as an input for electrolyzer. So it is also a closed-loop system. When we come to the Turkish hub, located in the İzmir-Manisa area of Turkey, it connects petrochemical and home appliances industries. And here also we integrate hydrogen with captured carbon to produce non-isocyanate polyurethane, which is an alternative polyurethane that is used in the production of refrigerators. And so we produce a circular refrigerator thanks to implementation of industrial symbiosis. And finally, the German hub, it is located in Frankfurt. Again, here we dominantly make use of captured carbon and combine it with hydrogen to produce e-methanol, to replace fossil-based methanol in the chemical and pharmaceutical sectors.
Quite diverse in every possible way. I was a little bit surprised with what I heard, in a positive way, of course. But I would like to circle back a little bit in the industrial symbiosis part that you mentioned a little bit earlier. I was thinking that it often depends on both technology and mindset. So it's not an easy thing. It's easier said than done. What technological breakthroughs is your project developing, and how do they enable real-world circularity, keeping in mind the mindset of the citizens, let's say?
The technologies that we have include carbon capture and utilization, hydrogen electrolysis, circular process heat, and advanced digital matching platforms. Also we have also IT technology to monitor the implementation of field work as well. These allow industries, but also the society, to valorize byproducts, reuse, for example, waste heat or carbon dioxide, and share resources in real time. Indeed, it is the main purpose of hubs for circularity. It is not happening purely in industrial areas, but they also smartly connect to the surrounding ecosystems and influence the daily lives of society living in the proximity.
Exactly. How does society take that? Because experience tells me that it's not the easiest thing.
Yes. For this, actually, if I can give an example, in Adorp, for example, in the Dutch hub, multiple sessions were organized also to inform the citizens living in the area and explain that this is going to bring a sort of first step to decarbonize the village and increase the energy resilience. And overall, in the long term, the village has a goal of becoming 100% fossil fuel independent. And I think this is going to be one of the first steps. They are open to this, of course, but that is why actually we are first testing it in 4 buildings, and then we will take it hopefully in further projects to a larger scale.
Exactly. No, that sounds quite promising. Beyond technology, I know that the project also focuses on social and business innovation. We touched upon it right now. Could you share an example of how it is helping industries rethink collaboration or government, and not only in the north, also a little bit in the south, if possible, where it's more difficult, for example?
Well, I had an example again in my mind from Twente. Let me tell you like this. Beyond technology, we test new governance models and also circular business strategies. So we look at the case also from business and financial perspectives. For instance, in Twente, we are piloting a local energy as a service model. So we link the industry and citizens because actually you can comfortably provide the hydrogen directly to the industry. But here we preferred to make a connection to a small-scale village where we can show that circularity is also a social contract, not purely industrial.
Now, I was thinking that scaling up circular hubs is a major European ambition. And from our discussion so far, I realized that we have done some steps towards the right direction, but we're nowhere near yet. That said, what are the biggest obstacles in scaling from isolated symbiosis networks to systemic hubs for circularity that is also a huge deal in the IS2H4C project?
Scaling requires interoperability. That is an important aspect. And it is not only institutional, but also digital. So we need shared data spaces. We need commonly agreed, harmonized indicators, performance indicators or sustainability indicators. And closely regional learning. That is also an important component. IS2H4C develops the tools and governance templates to help these future hubs to scale faster and also in a more sustainable way. And we are also targeting in the future implementation of trans-regional hubs for circularity. That is also embedded in the industrial clean deal that is coming by 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Although in my mind, I still find it as easier said than done. I find it as something hard to achieve. I would like to go a little bit more general now with the project. We have discussed specific topics in which it contributes in the broader European scheme, but how does it contribute to Europe's broader goals for resource efficiency, energy transition, and carbon neutrality? And I emphasize the resource efficiency because we recently also had the new declaration from the Commission regarding China and the raw materials, for example.
Yes, yes. I think the project directly contributes to the Europe's targets, mainly for carbon neutrality. Actually, this is a regional decarbonization project. Next to that, resource efficiency from two perspectives. When you implement industrial symbiosis, you transform waste into value. So you divert waste from ecosystems, but also because you substitute waste with a primary resource, you slow down the resource depletion. So it is a double advantaged business model because you make use of secondary raw materials. Next to that, I think linking industrial symbiosis with renewable energy and regional resilience also a critical contribution to the Europe's broader goals. So here we are somehow operationalizing the twin green and digital transition.
I get it. What if we, however, go from Europe to Europeans, people, and specifically the policy makers, those that in the future will create the new rules, regulations, acts that we have to live by? In what ways do you think projects like IS2H 4C can inform future EU policy making and the people that actually make it happen, especially around industrial ecosystems and cross-sector cooperation?
I think we can give a contribution, especially around facilitation of secondary materials markets. That is an important contribution that we can provide. Use of cyber-safe IT platforms to facilitate information sharing, because usually information is considered in the second line, but actually it definitely accompanies the physical flows. Information flows are definitely important to implement effective industrial symbioses and hubs for circularity. And they need to be cyber safe, because companies look for trustable environments where they can share information about their companies and implement symbiotic business models. And finally, I think we can also provide contribution on public-private investments in circular infrastructure and technology.
Makes total sense. And what about measurable impact? Now, one of the pains of most projects is the fact that the European Commission highlights the need for measurable impact. I agree with them, if I'm being honest. How does IS2H4C approach performance measurement and validation of its results?
Well, we combine multiple methods here, such as life cycle assessment, techno-economic analysis, and also social key performance indicators. We have a list, a table of KPIs, which are defined in the start of the project. And of course, we are also developing new ones through the project. And with these techniques, methods, we are quantifying what the exact impact of the each hub is, such as the amount of CO2 reduced, amount of fossil energy reduced, amount of secondary materials used, and so on. I think from validation perspective also, every synergy is validated on both environmental and economic performance, and that ensures the measurable impact on society and industry as well.
Devrim, looking ahead, what kind of long-term systemic change do you envision IS2H4C helping to create within Europe's industrial and regional ecosystems, let's say?
Yeah, I think in the long-term vision, there is a Europe where industrial areas, urban areas, rural regions, they function as interconnected circular ecosystems. So they should be self-sufficient in resource and energy. They should offer local employment opportunities and increase the resilience of every region and reduce the resource dependency of these regions. As I said before, Clean Industrial Deal is targeting for trans-regional hubs for circularity, and I believe these are going to play a critical role in this transition phase to the future in Europe.
Now, we're approaching the end of our discussion, and I like to end with my guests sending a message out in the world. So what message would you like to share with European policymakers, industry leaders, or citizens, European citizens, about the importance of supporting hubs for circularity and industrial symbiosis? Yeah, the mistake was bound to happen at some point.
Yes, it is relatively a new terminology. So people usually ask hubs for circularity or circular hubs. But thank you for the question. I think. As I said, the topic is raising in Europe, also worldwide, circular economy. I think we should all understand that circularity is no longer something optional. It is becoming a must, and it is a smart investment. I think it is Europe's competitive and sustainable future. Supporting hubs for circularity means investing in innovation, collaboration, and a shared prosperity. I think together we can turn industrial symbiosis into Europe's new industrial revolution.
That's ambitious. I hope this happens, actually. Very nice. Devrim, thank you so much for this very interesting discussion. And I hope to see you and other representatives of the project at ENLIT in Bilbao, 18 to 20 November 2025.
Thank you very much. Our colleagues from Spanish at the BASCAP are going to join there. I won't be there in person, but our project will be represented there.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the EU Energy Projects podcast, a podcast brought to you by Enlit and Friends. You can find us on Spotify, Apple, and the Enlit World website. Just hit subscribe, and you can access our other episodes too. I'm Areti Daradimu. Thank you for joining us.